live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, wonderfully it is Sunday, and you know what that means, don't you? That's right, it's the day after Saturday, the day that precedes Monday. And most importantly, it is the day that we choose to talk about ghosts. Yes, those things that walk through walls, walk through closed doors, and walk through our minds, terrifying us, sprinkling disaster everywhere they go. Maybe not disaster, but you get the picture. Anyway, it's Sunday. It's time for the Sunday sermon. Hooray! I hope you are all well. Are you all fantastically, indubitably well? I do hope so. So what are we going to do this week? Well, like the title of the show says, we are going to talk about ghosts. I've got some exciting news for you guys. Yes, I do. Of course, this Wednesday there'll be no, we don't need to talk about ghosts because it is time for a dark paranormal episode, yes. So there will be a new dark paranormal episode out on Wednesday. But that's not the exciting news. No, no, no. That's quite run-of-the-mill, so to say, because that's just what happens. But next week, and possibly the week after, it may be a two-parter. Yes. Put it this way. On Thursday, I have coming over to the flat to tell us all, to tell me and Becca, it'll be a three-way podcast to tell us all about their haunted Liverpool flat that they used to live in, like an Edwardian building. We have a very well-respected Broadway actress, or would you say actor? Are they all actors now? I don't know. I don't know my PC when it comes to that. But she was treading the board, starring in Blood Brothers all over Broadway, down south. Is it Broadway in London? Don't know. Whatever the London equivalent of Broadway is, maybe it's not Broadway. I don't know. But a big, big theatre star. Yes, who we happened to run into at a charity event, started talking about ghosts, and she said, let me tell you what happened to me in my Hope Street flat, Hope Street being one of the oldest streets in Liverpool. And we said, please do. And then I said, hold on, in fact, don't. I want to hear it fresh, and can you please come to our flat to tell us all about it? So that might be a two-parter, because I believe, in my mind, the way it's going to go is she's going to tell us all about her haunted experience. I believe there's some poltergeist activity there too, which is exciting. And then maybe next week she will return to tell us about general theatre hauntings that she's experienced, which will be so exciting. And we may do something random for a Patreon episode with her as well, where we just ask her silly questions. Yes. Speaking of patrons, it is, of course, that time when we like to say a big thank you to all of our new wonderful patrons and a thank you to all our existing patrons. If you're not yet a Patreon, you are missing out. We put out two extra shows a week over on Patreon. We've had quite a few patrons sign up this week, and they will have, of course, heard both me and Becca go on a witch hunt over in the Wirral, and also us discuss the most famous ghost photographs of all time. They're two of our recent little Patreon episodes there. So if you'd like to become a patron, if you like the show and you're willing to help it continue, then please go over to www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts, and you'll get all of that great stuff over there. There will be a link also in the show notes in case you can't remember that thing I've just read out, which is rather long and lengthy. Anyway, let's say thank you via the medium, of course, of song to our new patrons. The guitar is indeed out, out, out and about. Yes, and we have six new wonderful patrons to thank this week. Wow. And they go by the name of Rin Lemieux, Matthew Hedges, Katie Kay, Greg Provencio. What a name. Teresa and Jennifer Kern. Yes. Now, I know what you're thinking. Kev, how are you going to manage without doing a rap to get all those names into a thank you song? Well, let me tell you, this isn't my first rodeo. Here we go. Yeah, Rin Lemieux, Matthew Hedges and Katie Kay, Jennifer Kern and Teresa, not to forget Greg Provencio. You're a keeping the lights on, guys, here. Ended it on a seventh. Thank you so much, you wonderful new patrons. You're going to get all the wonders of extra shows, slight attempts at comedy, and whatever else we decide to throw up there. But if you haven't yet joined Patreon and you think, I will, you are missing out. As I say, we've got witch hunts. We got paranormal photograph discussion. Yes, and coming up shortly, as I say, we have interviews with Broadway superstars about the paranormal. What more could you ask for little over a dollar per week? Not much, I tell thee. So go sign up, patreon.com Patreon.com. Oh dear, that's the last time I try and do a Cockney accent halfway through a word. Patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts. In other news, at the end of this week, yes, Friday, I will be speaking to my good pal and wrestling superstar, Mr. Chris Jericho. Yes, of former WWE and current AEW fame, and of course, lead singer of the band Fozzy. I will be speaking with him on his podcast, Talk Is Jericho. Yes, it won't be out this week. I'm recording it, I think, Friday, we've agreed. But that'll be out in a couple of months, probably. Hopefully in time for Halloween, I'll let you know. Anyway, this is my show now, so shall we crack on with some spooky stuff? Is that an all-round resounding yes? Is it? Go on, say it again. I hope somebody has. Anyway, and if you have, well done for taking part. Yes, let's get some spook on.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, it's time once more for us to delve into the news and see what weird things have been happening this week. Well, it would appear that we're close to an alien invasion. If a video taken in South Carolina is anything to go by, yes, in the little town of Spartanburg. Some students have been messing around on TikTok, taking some videos and stuff, when all of a sudden they notice someone staring at the sky. They ask this guy what's going on, and he points in the direction where they all see a series of lights floating around in no set formation, but in a way which is quite ominous and very eerie, yes. One compared it to an alien fleet, while others suggested it was atmospheric electricity, and one person said it was perhaps ice crystals in the clouds catching light. Haley, who took the video, said one of her friends said it could be the Starlink satellite launched by SpaceX, but Haley isn't convinced. She says, I don't think it's that, simply because you can see the light in the darkest of clouds and in the brightest of spots. It just didn't look like something natural to me in person. Haley's keeping an open mind about what it is. However, a UFO researcher, Scott Waring, believes the video is proof of contact with extraterrestrials. On his UFO sightings daily blog, he says, the eyewitness and his family... I'll do an American accent. The eyewitness and his family were standing in the backyard when he noticed the sparkling in the clouds above. The sparkling continued for several minutes and happened in different locations, but always near the cloud. The sparkling is definitely from a fleet of UFO orbs. It's a fantastic catch. Well, I apologize for my accent there. Scott probably doesn't sound like that. But there we go. In Spartanburg, South Carolina, UFOs are coming to take over. And we should ask, in 2020, would it be a bad thing? I, for one, think not. But that does conclude this week's Weekend Weird.
Weekend Weird.
And we are back, and we're going to start the spooky shenanigans right away. Just to let you know, obviously, we've had a lot of people get in touch regarding the end of last week's episode in terms of what it was, what it could be. I will go over that more in the midpoint about some of your theories. Just to let you know, we haven't had much else happen in the flat. We've had the neighbour's cat chasing a few things which aren't there, but it could just be a fly. So that's where we're currently at with it. Unless something's happened to Becca and she's not telling me about it, which, you know, would be right like her. That would be right like her, that would. Anyway, let's get on with the stories. Now, our first story today, our first personal experience, should I say. Not stories, not make-believe. These are genuine bloody things, people. Anyway, our first one comes in from a new listener, Cynthia Cruz, and she sent us a story. It's not a story, it's a personal experience. She sent us a personal experience about her youth, I believe, or a childhood home. And it goes like this. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
My name is Cynthia. I'm a brand new listener, in brackets, literally started yesterday. Well, this was mid-August. And below, I've written my ghost story. Why, thank you, Cynthia. So this is your tale. I have a story about a house that I lived in as a child, which was definitely haunted. This is in Waterbury, Connecticut. My siblings and I were talking about the house a few weeks back and realised that we all had our own paranormal experiences in that house. The most activity happened in and around the basement / the basement door. The earliest occurrence, in brackets, I was 7 or 8, I can think of was one night. We were all seated around the kitchen table, eating our snacks before bed. Of course, we're horsing around, as children do. Our parents had been telling us to knock it off a few times. Finally, our mum yelled at us to cut the crap. And as she did this, we could hear a pool ball fall off of the pool table, in brackets, located in the basement, and go bouncing off. This, of course, quieted us down very quickly, and we hurried to get to bed. Once, my brother saw what he described as a leprechaun poke its head from behind the couch and look directly at him, then hide back behind the couch. My brother said he did not sleep a wink that night and never said anything to us because he thought it was a joke the rest of us had played on him and he didn't want us to know that we got the better of him. But that was not our doing. After my grandfather passed in his sleep, the activity was at an all-time high. My grandmother would have dreams where she felt like my grandfather was trying to take her with him, causing her to wake up gasping, choking, and crying. This happened every night for the first 3 months of him being gone. A friend that my grandfather wasn't fond of was using the bathroom. He felt a hand rest on his shoulder, looked, and there was no one there. The friend never came over again after that. Then I began seeing blue orbs of light every time I would go into my grandparents' room, in brackets, where my grandfather died. At first, I would see it from the corner of my eye. Then it was just there in front of me. I couldn't understand what it meant, so I would talk to it, hoping it was my grandfather. Shortly after I began speaking to the orb, I would see it in different rooms of the house, not just my grandparents' room. Soon, my grandmother helped me believe it was something demonic, and I freaked out the next time I saw the orb. In brackets, crying, screaming, telling it to leave me alone, the whole nine yards. This was the last time I saw the orb. Sometimes I wish I didn't order the orb to leave. I believe, now, that this was a gift that I had and no longer possess. But it does make for some interesting stories. Now, there's something about the basement I haven't revealed. The basement was a typical basement with concrete walls, oil tank, and hot water heater. But on the walls, near the pool table, were three names. In brackets, I wished I remembered what they were. But under these names were years, for example, 1945 to 1989. We always joked around when we were kids that these were people buried in the walls. But now, it all seems too real. I know you guys were looking for a story and not multiple stories, but I thought this was the best way to deliver the experiences we all felt in our childhood home. All the best, Cynthia. Wow, 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 wee wow. Cynthia, that was a great plethora of stories. That was amazing. Are there people buried in your childhood home's walls? I like to think not, just for sanity's sake. Also, it means that the people prior to you were serial killers, and nobody wants that, do they? Not where they live, not where they breathe, and definitely not where they play pool. Who's that knocking my cue? Was that you, brother, or was it the demon? Demonic orbs, though, that's a new take on orbs, isn't it? I'm not a big fan of orbs generally, but if you see them with your naked eye and they're a luminous blue, then that's different than the old speck of dust, isn't it? Especially if, I don't know, why was your nan trying to convince you it's a demon orb? What an interesting nan you must have had. Anyway, Cynthia, sincerely, thank you for sending that story in, because that's amazing. I do really like that. Shall we have some more? Yes, I think we shall. Our next two stories come in from often contributor Nina Peterson. Now, you remember she sent three stories in prior and they were all bloody marvellous. So we're going to get two more from Nina right now. She says, and this is story number four she writes in. And the title of the email is, of course, Two More Stories, because it's two more stories. Quite logical, really. Thanks, Nina. She writes story number four. And then she's put in asterisks. I mean no offence in any of these terms. If you know of a more PC term, please use them. Now, the trouble we've got here is I just read these stories fresh. I don't pre-read them. So, on behalf of Nina, I'm sure she means no offence, as she states there. So, if there's anything too mad, I'll edit it out. Quick glance through. I don't think there's anything intentionally offensive there. So I'll continue. You'll recall from the previous three stories from Nina that they went round looking for spooky sites, basically. So this continues in that jaunt. One of the next sites we decided to check out was an old Ku Klux Klan house in Salem, for whatever reason. We went in broad daylight because it wasn't really safe to go at night, as it was through the woods that opened to a clearing that you had to walk to, and it was very easy to get lost. The house was being preserved as a historical site. The second floor was used as a medical floor, and the township was planning on making it a museum. So they'd removed the stairs leading to the doors so it couldn't be vandalised. The house was about 4 to 5 feet off the ground, so it was insanely difficult to get to the door without the stairs. And if you did, you only had the extremely small ledge of the locked door to stand on, which most people couldn't. So, as we're walking up to the house, there's a huge tree behind the home with a low hanging branch, which made it obvious what it was. I look at the tree, and I see a small black boy under the tree. I ask Jay if he sees him, and he says, "See what?" The next thing I know, the little boy is gone. We're just walking around looking at the house, and I feel like we're being watched. So I look up at the second floor windows, and there's a girl in a nurse's outfit standing in the window looking at us. I looked at Jay and back again, and she was gone. As I explained, there was no way someone could be inside.
No, I don't think there's anything offensive in there. Obviously, it's a very touchy subject. It's an interesting thing, which I'm not going to get bogged down into because people have different opinions of it, about what should be kept and as in sort of a historic museum sense. So people, I don't think you should ever just delete history. You know, I mean, it goes without saying, the abhorrence of Ku Klux Klan and racism in general. But I don't think things should be deleted. I think they should be there almost as almost, you know, for example, the way there's, you can visit if you're into that sort of thing, like history wise, the Holocaust sites in Poland, etc. And I think it's important that they are there, so we always remember just how horrible and bastards human beings can be. So, you know, I understand why people would say just get rid as well. There's arguments to both sides of things. But taking away all of that just to look at the detail of the story of ghosts, that's a horrific little story, isn't it? You know, sends a shiver down the spine just thinking about it. Anyway, moving on, story 5. My friends and I were on vacation in Maryland, and we decided to try and find a supposedly haunted place to check out. The campsite store worker told us of a place, so we went out to drive there. I'm sitting in the back seat, and we had to drive down this long road that was surrounded by woods and fields on both sides. We passed a lonesome church and cemetery next to it on the road, which I thought was odd, as there was nothing else nearby on this road. As we passed the church, I got extremely anxious and fearful for no reason at all. As I've gotten older, I've been able to better pick up on energies, and some spirits have presented themselves to me as images or video-like images I see that no one else does. When I got the anxious feeling, I knew something was up, but something was telling me to look on the other side of the road towards the woods. So I did. When I looked over, I didn't see anything and started to look forward at the road again. As I went to look forward, I got a terrifying video-like thing of an old woman in a black flowing dress running towards us. As if she noticed I could see her, she turned her head and let out a blood-curdling scream, her face turned hollow and decrepit with holes like decaying bodies get. I snapped out of it as my friend who was driving let out a loud gasp. I asked what was wrong, and she said there was this black thing that just ran across the road. I told her we should probably get out of there, and both my friends agreed. When we got back to the campsite, I asked them why they agreed to leave, as they were both not very scared of paranormal things. They both said they felt uneasy, like if they continued, something bad would happen. Well, Nina, is that an ambulance? And if it is, please pull over, because I just had a heart attack through fear. That was terrifying. Oh my God, I could picture that as I was saying it. And as I've said to you all previously before, I don't pre-read these. I just read them out as I'm going. So my reactions tend to be quite real. I'm not saying that anyone else's aren't. I'm sure yours are too. But as I was reading that, I was like, oh my God, why has she got holes in her face? Why are her eyes not there? Jesus wept, woman. Put your eyes back in and put on a nice dress. That was terrifying. Nina, thank you so much for all 5 of your stories. They're always terrifying. And if you have any more, and if anyone listening has a ghost story, that's the point of the show. As I say repeatedly, week on week, send them in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. com, and I will read them out. Well, I think we could all do with a little bit of a break after that, so let's have a midpoint. Go, put your kettle on, if you have a kettle. Or you might have one of them fancy taps that just pour out boiling water, which shouldn't be around children, in my opinion. But anyway, enough of my health and safety announcements. Let's have a midpoint. Hooray! Then it's then parten, and parten is then mine and podcast. Is it parten time now? It is parten time, ja, ja. Parten time now, but let's social distance parten, ja? Ja, safety first. There you go, social distance German party. Someone requested, and we've had one. Hooray. So, it is the midpoint. I hope that you're all fantastic. You've gone and got yourself maybe some tea, some tiffin, some cake. Oh, I've just broke a dream of mine there. Anyway, can't tell you about it. But how are you all? What happened last week, you all ask? Well, I don't know. I've listened back to the end of last week's show over and over and over again. And we've had a hell of a lot of emails, as you would expect, which I wanted, because I wanted opinions on what it was. If you're unfamiliar of last week's episode, just go back and listen to the last 3 minutes of last week's episode. During the edit, I managed to pick up some movement when I wasn't in the room. It was kind of scary. I've went through up and downs this week of rationalising it and saying, no, I think I know what that was. That was something that was uneven anyway. I've threw my headphones, it fell off. That's it. The thing which was uneasy at the time and unnerving at the time, sorry, and is still unnerving now, is the sound that is not something falling. It's a sound which is either breath or something rubbing on fabric. And there's two issues there. One, if it's breath, what the living fuck? Excuse my French, but I need to get not just two priests. I need a plethora of priests. Please, a little bit of alliteration there, but please find my order of a plethora of priests, because something's breathing in this flat when I'm not there, or it's something rubbing fabric, which again, that's still not nice. Oh no, the demon isn't breathing, for demons don't breathe, but they do touch things. But again, I don't know, so do let me know. We've had people who've said, like Matt, our great admin, has said, and also a host of the Full Movie Podcast, you should go check that out, has said he thinks it's fabric, and I completely agreed with him at the time. And then somebody else said, no, it's breath, because if you listen to this, then listen to this. And then I was like, no, it is breath. So I don't know. I just don't know. I do know that when I listen to it again, though, I do get freaked out just as much as I did, because, you know, it's like the old adage, what we've talked about many a time on the show. I either believe that it's something completely rational, or I accept there's a phantom in the house. And that's just not easy to accept. As much as I like to host ghost podcasts, you know what I mean? But it's different when it's in your own house, isn't it? It's all fun and games when you're recording, but when you stop it and you're trying to do something normal, like go to bed, it's not fun then, let's be honest. Anyway, don't forget, guys, if you have a story, we do need more stories. The way it's going to work, you're going to have a bit of time to get them in now, because as I say, fingers crossed, if all goes well, the next 2 weeks should be taken up by having a special guest on the next two Sundays. So there'll be time to build up these stories in time for we're building up to Halloween, the spookiest time of the year. So what we may end up doing is having like a bumper episode, which would be fun, wouldn't it? So you can get a load of ghost stories in to listen to around Halloween. Don't forget, we also have our Halloween special coming up. Today, we are making a plan of how that's going to go. I'm not just trying to persuade you into signing up to Patreon, but what I will say is I've literally ordered from Amazon today. It's a dash cam, basically, but it can record continuously for 16 hours. And we're also getting a trail cam from Becca's stepfather, which means that when we go to our haunted hotel in a couple of weeks' time, we can film the entirety of the stay, even when we're asleep, when we're not in the room. Obviously, a video podcast can't just come out, so those videos will be going up on the Patreon when we do them. However, we are recording the actual Halloween episode there too, so you will hear everything that's gone on this podcast. You won't have to pay for any of that. The audio will all be there. But if we do catch anything, that can only go on the Patreon site. The Patreon episode I'm going to record with Becca shortly, I'm going to pop upstairs and record with her, yes, is a little precursor to what I'm going to be discussing with Mr. Chris Jericho in a few days, which is famous people and curses, be that in films, music, anything like that. So subscribe to Patreon and you'll find out what we're going to talk about. Yeah, fun and games. Okay, in the meantime, in the between time, let's get back to some scary stories, I think. See you on t'other side. And we are back with the illest of behaviours. And we're going to go right into it. We have an email from Mary Vasikek. And it's called Rocky Spirit. I believe it's about an animal ghost. So let's see what this one's all about. When my daughter was about 8 years old, we had a cat named Rocky. He loved our daughter above all. After he went missing, she would say she could see Rocky behind her full-length mirror in her room. I told her she was just wishing to see him and that we all miss him. A week or so later, I was standing in the kitchen and saw my daughter walk into the bathroom, down the hall, and walking behind her, I saw Rocky. No doubt what I saw. He was there. He took one step and disappeared with her into the bathroom. I know what I saw was Rocky's ghost. Rocky never came home, and I suppose he was killed, unfortunately. In brackets, I should never have left him out. But his spirit came back for a while to spend some time with Sarah. I know this isn't scary, but it's proved to me there are spirit animals. And I know, because I saw one. This is 100% true. And that's from Mary Jo in Chicago suburbs, USA. Wow, Mary Jo. And sorry, I've just realised I pronounced your daughter's name Sarah instead of Sarah. I do apologise. So, animal spirits. Interesting. As you will know, if you're a long-time listener to the show, not normally fussed about animal spirits. My opinion of that has changed slightly since the neighbour got a cat. And now the very thought of that cat going outside, even just going outside, let alone dying, just going outside, because it's an indoor cat, the neighbour's cat, terrifies me beyond belief and puts a fear of God in me, similar to poltergeists, I'll be honest. So I'll be honest with you, Mary, that's a lovely tale and I'm all about them now. Send in your animal stories. I prefer devil ones, obviously. Who doesn't? You know what I mean? Who doesn't love a good bit of demonic possession over a nice little animal ghost? However, if you've got an animal ghost, I'm feeling the love for animal ghosts, so send them on in. Thank you, Mary. That's a lovely story. And I'm only slightly disappointed that with the title Rocky's Ghost, I'm not ending that story by saying, and even now on a cold winter's night, we can still hear Adrian in the distance. Anyway, enough terrible jokes about boxing ghosts. Let's have another true ghost story. Now, our next email comes in from Tammy, and it's entitled, I Hated This House. Now, there is a trigger warning in this story, and I know that you might think, well, how would you know that? I thought that you don't read them until you read them out, and I don't. But she's put at the top, trigger warning, domestic abuse / miscarriage, okay? So, bit deep here, guys. So, completely understand if you want to skip ahead a few minutes. That's the point of trigger warnings, really. Okay, so, thank you for sending this in, Tammy. And anxious about what we're about to discover. But that's the point of the show. So thank you very much for sending it in. Here we go. This is Tammy's story. For the record, I would like to be a skeptic. I've completed both an undergraduate and a graduate degree in scientific fields, and it is hard to internally reconcile the part of me that knows the supernatural to be real and the professional part of me. I come from the Philippines, where religious faith and belief in the ghosts, cryptids, and witches go hand in hand. It's hard to explain to someone who doesn't come from a culture like that. If you have a toothache, you can both ask the Virgin Mary for healing and visit the psychic surgeon, and no one will think you weird for doing either. It is commonplace to be walking along the street in our family's village with my cousin, a successful surgeon, and for him to point out a Nipa hut and casually mention that a witch lives there. Maybe this cultural heritage is the reason that I can believe. I don't know. I know this is a long story, but it was a house that left an impression. When I was 9, my family relocated to a new state and rented a house for a few years whilst my parents worked on selling our old house and saving up a down payment. It was a tiny split level that had 3 bedrooms upstairs stacked over the family room / master bedroom on the partially subterranean bottom floor, and jutting off to the right was the ground floor with the living room and kitchen. It was a great cul-de-sac neighbourhood in a solid school district with lots of kids and families all around. My parents felt comfortable leaving my sister and me on our own after school or during the summers. It was so common for us to be alone in the house downstairs watching TV and to hear distinct and heavy footfalls walking down the hallway or moving around in the bedroom my parents had turned into the long-term storage above us. We would be hanging out watching The Price is Right on a sunny Wednesday morning, and suddenly both turn our heads to stare at the sound of someone stomping around upstairs. At night, I would hear tapping against my wall. My dad told me it was a tree branch, except one day I went out and realised that there weren't any trees in that part of the yard around my room, and it always sounded like it was coming from the wall I shared with the storage room. Sometimes we would feel rage in the house and that we needed to get out immediately. Whatever small hunted animal part of our brain picked up on those danger signals completely bypassed rational thought and spoke directly to our feet. It didn't matter if my sister was on a different floor or in a different part of the house, when the anger swelled like that, we would both immediately flee outside. With no communication between us, we would find ourselves out of breath and awkwardly standing on the front stoop with no way to consciously explain why we dropped what we were doing and ran out there. Those were the everyday things. We learned to live with them and as children, never thought to complain to our parents. Before I get into the two major experiences I had there, I will offer up what information I have that might factor into what we felt whilst living there. It was in the American South, in the land that had been lived on by First Nations people and early settlers. The Revolutionary and Civil Wars had skirmishes in the area, but nothing major. The year we planted a garden, we tilled up sizeable chunks of broken pottery and bits of rotted cloth. It was the early 90s, before the internet, and my dad talked about taking it to the local state university for identification. But we got busy, and he never did. Second, we were close with our neighbours on one side, but they always invited us over and very rarely came over to our house. I don't know if my mum had asked about it or what, but one day the mother from next door explained to us that three sets of tenants before us, a couple had rented the house and were planning to buy it. The guy was a long-haul truck driver with a temper. At some point, the lady became pregnant, and in the middle of a fight, he ended up pushing her down the stairs from the living room to the family room before storming out. After a while, the lady was able to get next door for help since the neighbour was a nurse. The lady did not want to go to hospital or have an ambulance called, but it was obvious to the neighbour it wasn't going to be a home patch job. She'd broken an arm or a wrist or something. The neighbour mother drove her to the hospital, and that's how she found out that the lady was pregnant, and she'd since lost the baby as a result of that fall. While the guy was out on his next long-haul run, the neighbours helped the lady pack up and move her things to her family. The woman next door said that the whole time they were packing in there, it felt like the house hated them and wanted them out. Even years later, she didn't like coming over. When the guy came home from work and found everything empty, he did some pretty serious damage to the house and then left. By the time we moved in, everything was fixed and other families had come and gone. But it wasn't too hard to find renters willing to move in. But according to the neighbour, everyone was always happy to move out once their lease was up, and some were even willing to take the financial hit and move out early. We managed to stay for 2 years, but I attribute that to my dad being about as sensitive as a block of concrete, in brackets, I say that with love, and my mum's frugal nature. We needed a place to live where we could afford to pay rent and still save up for a down payment. And apparently, a haunted house is cheaper than a non-haunted one. It also helped that most of the activity was focused on my sister and me. And in that era, no one took kids very seriously. At night, it was not uncommon to hear the tapping on the bedroom wall or the footsteps pacing the hall. But it was usually not too creepy to have to leave my room for a visit to the toilet, because my mum always left a lamp on in the living room. The light would shine up the stairs and illuminate the hallway pretty well, so I didn't hesitate to leave my room when my tiny 9-year-old bladder got me up and sent me down the hall to the bathroom. Being half asleep and walking a familiar route, I was almost to the bathroom door by the stairs before I realised that the lamp wasn't on. Instead, there was a faint glow from the other side of the living room, coming from beside the stairway. Also, the piano, which was tucked away in the corner of the room, was being played. There wasn't any skill or purpose in the playing. It was like keys being hit at random, like if a cat was walking around on the piano. It would be fine and much less traumatic if my parents had given in to my childhood pleadings and actually gotten me a cat. But as they had not, and there was no living creature in the house other than myself and my parents, in brackets, both of us unlikely to be messing around on the piano at 2 a.m, and my sister, in brackets, who I could see was sleeping in the bed, I was not okay. I ran into my sister's room, which had an ensuite half bath I could use. I was too afraid to go back into the hall, so I slept on her floor so that she was between me and the doorway, and more importantly, between me and whatever was in the living room. It wasn't until several days later that I realised there wasn't even a lamp or source of light in the corner where the piano is. So, whatever had been playing the piano had been providing its own glow. I never spent a full night in my own room again after that, as long as we lived in that house. Every night my parents would tuck me into bed in my room, and I would wait patiently until they were downstairs and creep across the hall to my sister's floor. It was worth being fussed at in the mornings if it meant not being terrified all night long. Plus, I think my sister also felt safer with another person around when it was dark. A few months after that, my sister had a Thursday night soccer practice with a makeup game straight after, and my parents gave me the option to stay at home alone or go with everyone else to watch the game. As my own practice was cancelled so they could use the field for the game, I was very keen on having a night to myself with full control of our one TV. My only chore for the evening was to feed the dogs who lived outside. It was autumn and the time of year where dark falls around 7 p.m, and it was the darkness outside that made me realise that I'd missed the dogs' 6 p.m. dinner time. It had been a good day in the house up till that point. There'd been a few upstairs footsteps, but that had been earlier when the sun was still up, and it was on a floor I didn't have to go to. I wasn't scared at all being in the house by myself, until I was in the kitchen getting the dog's food scooped up from the bin and I heard the TV in the family room change channels. Our cable controller was a large box that was tethered to the TV and had big clicky buttons where each button correlated to a given channel. To switch from one channel to the next, you had to physically depress the button, which would stay firmly pressed down until you chose another channel. From my spot in the kitchen, I could hear a rapid click, 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 as someone messed around with the controller and the sound changed as the TV cycled through the channels. I threw food into the bowls, measuring be damned, and almost killed myself getting out of that kitchen door as fast as I could. I figured that I would get the dogs fed and then let the little one into the house with me to keep me company after they ate. The dogs' houses were in the far back corner of the yard, and the dogs walked along with me eager to get to their dinner. Before I was even halfway across the yard, they both abandoned me and started barking. I turned around to see what was going on, and our big dog was standing stiff-legged with his ears straight up, barking in the direction of the house. The little dog was barking too, but alternately charging at the house, then backing away from it. I couldn't figure out what had set them off until I noticed the living room window. The thing is, it was night time, and I was in an unlit yard. All the other windows that faced the backyard had yellow incandescent light bulb light coming from them. That window should have been bright too, since I had to go through there to get to the kitchen, and my dad could attest that I never turn off lights as a child. But at that moment, it was like there was a grey-black filter over it instead of the sheer curtain that normally hung there. In the bottom corner, there was a small white face breaking up the darkness. It was backlit, so I didn't get a lot of detail on the features, but it was a child-sized face, and I thought it was a boy because he had short, curly dark hair. It didn't feel like when there was the rage. Instead, it felt like the thing at the window was just curious about me. It seemed like when I noticed it, it pressed closer to the glass. It was looking at me, looking at it. I don't know how long I stood in the yard with the dogs freaking out and staring at the face in the window, but it disappeared from one blink to the next. the light was suddenly normal, making a perfect little rectangle across the grass. At this, the little dog ran up and marked his territory against the back wall of the house, which seemed to be the all clear for both of them, and they trotted back to me to check out their food bowls. Whatever they'd been scenting was gone. I couldn't go back into the house, though. I sat in the yard outside, cuddling the dogs and freezing my butt off, until I heard my parents' car pull up in the driveway. I slipped back into the house and tried to act like I had just popped into the kitchen for a drink. As everyone came in through the front door, I checked out the back wall of the living room around the window. I would like to say there was something worth noting, like my mum's painting of Jesus had been ripped off the wall or something similar, but it just looked normal. I followed my mum downstairs and the TV was still on, but playing static as it was set to a channel we didn't have. I switched the channel before she asked any questions and moved on with my life. To this day, I don't know why I never told my parents about it. Maybe it was because they were already in the process of house hunting, or maybe it was because the little face hadn't felt bad or evil. It felt just like another little kid that happened to share the house. I thought maybe whatever caused the angry feelings were bothering it too. We lived there for a couple more months, but I made sure to never be in the house alone again, even if it meant tagging along to trip to the bank or going to mass. We bought a house 30 miles away, and I didn't think about it again for nearly 20 years. Imagine my surprise when a close friend of mine from college ended up moving to my old town and into my old subdivision. I decided to swing by the old house after visiting her. It was still there and looked more or less like it did the day we left, right down to the "for rent" sign that was still in the yard. I followed it online on various real estate websites since then. No individuals ever bought it, even though the owners had moved out of state shortly after buying it and had been willing even 30 years ago to give a nice family a good deal. It was finally bought by a property management company in 2016 as an investment and continues to be up for rent on a regular basis.
Tammy, that's terrifying. Oh my God, that sounds like one of them houses that if you won the lottery... That's what I'd do. If I won the lottery, I'd just buy a fleet of haunted houses. And I'd be like, well, Monday, I can't. I'm in the Black Monk's house. Tuesday, I can't. I'm at Amityville. Thursday, I can't. Wednesday doesn't exist in my millionaire lifestyle. But Thursday, I'll be at Enfield. And then I'll be in this little subdivision where there's spooky walkings and children in windows. Terrifying Tammy. That's your new nickname, by the way. Terrifying Tammy. No, that is absolutely brilliant. If you have a story like that, it doesn't have to be just like that, but, you know, if you've got a haunted house story, all the better. Send them in, because we, of course, as I said earlier, we're ramping up. Thank you, by the way, Tammy, for sending that in. We are ramping up our stories for Halloween. We're going to have plethoras of spooky episodes coming out, probably more than we usually would, because it is the season to be terrified. Tra-la-la-la-la, la-la-la, ah! So, send in your stories too. Contact at talkaboutghosts.com. We will round them all up and have a bonds a couple of months because it's our most wonderful time of the year. And I think that's about it for this episode. Thank you to all who's contributed. Don't forget, if you want to hear all of the extra stuff we got going on, and there's loads, then you need to go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Okay then, guys, in the meantime and in between time, I won't speak to you Wednesday unless you're a Patreon, because we have the alternate Wednesdays off now, because on the Wednesday, this Wednesday, there will be a dark paranormal episode coming out. Yes, so if you've not already, go and subscribe to the other podcast that I host, a professional sort of serious look at one sincere paranormal terrifying ghost story per week, or per 2 weeks, should I say. It'll be out on Wednesday. Go search for The Dark Paranormal wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to it. Yes, there'll be a new one out on Wednesday. In the meantime, guys, we'll be back on Sunday, hopefully with a very, very special guest. Okay, you guys, take care, stay safe, and look out for yourself and each other. Courtesy of Jerry Springer, circa 1992. Okay, guys, till then. Tatty bye.